Are you putting too much emphasis on new technology instead of the people that make it happen? Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
The military's new $5.5 billion electronic health record is about to get its own examination. The Senate voted unanimously last week to require an independent review of MHS Genesis, the latest sign of congressional concern about this massive EHR project. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu writes about it in this week's edition of the DoD Reporter's Notebook, and Jared joins me now. Jared, it sounds like senators are expecting the possibility of a multi-year, multi-billion-dollar overrun quagmire if this thing doesn't get righted pretty soon.
It's possible, and I think their main concern is they just have not been told many details of exactly what's happened with the electronic health record so far. So this report that we're talking about here is actually on top of another sort of oversight requirement that lawmakers just added to the 2019 NDAA just a couple weeks ago, in which they required the department to produce its own report on where things stand with MHS Genesis and what improvements it's made recently. And they actually prohibited the department from doing any further deployments until that report is delivered. This new requirement, which the Senate voted on 95-0, would require an external review by the Government Accountability Office, and that would need to be done within the next 6 months. It would be a pretty detailed first study and then report based on that study. And it would ask essentially the same questions that Congress asked in the NDAA, which are, what has the department done to improve the system since the report that we saw earlier this year from the Office of Operational Test and Evaluation that found that Genesis was, quote, neither operationally effective nor operationally suitable? And it would just also ask some broader questions about just how the system is meeting overall healthcare demands at the four clinics and hospitals in Washington state where it's already been rolled out. And they also want to know whether DoD can still meet the timeline that they've set out for full deployment across the hundreds of hospitals and clinics around the world, which they've pegged at the year 2022 is when they want to get that done. The department has not said that they think that they're going to miss that deadline or face any significant slippages at all, but they've also not told us when the next set of rollouts on the West Coast are going to be, because they're still waiting to see what the results of that final OT&E process are going to be.
There's always two issues here. One is the requirements that DoD is giving Cerner solid enough that they can develop the program without too much cost overrun? And then the other issue is, once it's deployed, is it flexible enough to do the tweaks after the requirement stage? Because requirements that go off the rails can sink any project, and it's not the contractor's fault.
So all of that is absolutely true. I think what the department would say, and in fact what the department has said several times, is the thing that they like about the underlying Cerner product is that it is configurable without having to make customizations to the underlying software. And they've done their best to configure and not customize. There are some areas where you just can't get away with that because the system has to interface with DoD's relatively boutique authentication systems for verifying that users are who they say they are. And that's one of the areas where they have run into trouble. So we've heard reports of login times for individual systems and individual users taking upwards of a minute. They say that they've made improvement on those grounds and got those times way down in recent months as they've continued this initial fielding process. But yes, to your broader point, I think that's absolutely true. And the more interesting test of that is going to be how they map what the product that they're deploying with the one that VA is deploying, because it's based on the same underlying commercial Cerner Millennium software, but VA also is obviously much bigger, has slightly different needs, and it's not buying its EHR under the same contract. So that's going to be a major challenge going forward in the coming years, is harmonizing those two systems.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, and switching gears here for a moment, I guess the military realizes that in the loss of John McCain, a stern but loving taskmaster, you might put it, has passed, and now McCain is getting credit for something really big that the Army has just launched.
Yeah, and we're talking about the creation of Army Futures Command. The formal activation ceremony happened last month. And during that ceremony, the Army disclosed to us something that we had really never heard before, which was that McCain personally was deeply involved in what turns out to have been a multi-year process of designing this new command, which, just by way of very brief background, the Army created to, as officials are putting it, bring all of its modernization functions under one roof so that they have a cohesive set of leadership handling all phases of modernization. They first announced that to us, that the plans to stand up AFC at the AUSA conference last October, but the history, as we found out last week, actually goes back 2 years before that, when General Mark Milley was first going through the confirmation process to become the Army's new chief of staff. And he says, in meetings leading up to his confirmation hearing with McCain one-on-one, McCain really raised some fundamental modernization issues for the Army. He was, as he has been, as you said, a taskmaster with all the military services. One of his big issues was always the incredible amount of time and the cost overruns involved in military procurement more generally. So here's quickly a description from Milley of what those conversations with McCain were like.
And he said, "General, you gotta dig into this. You gotta get this fixed. And oh, by the way, you got a hearing coming up, so you better have some answers." And I was like, "Well, Roger that. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night, so I figured, okay, I better be paying attention." So I'm back to the office, and I got that guy right there, Mike Murray, and a couple of others, a guy named Ed Cardone, who's not here today, Jim Richardson, who is, and a few others, and we sat in the office, and we said, "Okay, you know, here's the guidance from the chair, the Senate Armed Services Committee," and we looked at ourselves, held the mirror up, and we realized that we did have a whole series of issues and challenges within the Army.
And General Milley went on to say, Tom, that this was not just a matter of a one-time meeting with McCain where this issue was really brought to Milley's attention. He says it was a series of many conversations over many months where McCain was pretty intimately involved in the entire design of the command and making recommendations about how the whole thing should work. And, you know, it's somewhat surprising that we hadn't heard about McCain's role in this so far, but in a way it's not. I think Senator McCain, I've covered him for 20 years, first in Arizona and now here, it's somewhat characteristic of how he tended to operate. He's gotten at some times a reputation for being an attention seeker, and I think that's mostly an undeserved reputation. He did a lot of things like this, like his involvement with promoting democracy overseas and visiting troops overseas, really away from the limelight, and he was always very generous with his time when asked about things, but I don't think there were a whole lot of cases where he went out and tried to actively promote himself.
This is a good illustration of a member of Congress really understanding the issues and taking the time to learn the details. I was speaking with some former, well, let's say intelligence community people who were complaining about the fact that so many of the people on the Intelligence Committee and the staffs really were ignorant of the details. And if you're going to craft legislation and ride herd on the military, I think McCain honored them in a sense by making sure he was on top of the game to the extent that they were.
I think that's absolutely right. And he was very consistently critical of the way the military bureaucracy functioned, especially the acquisition system, in public hearings. But you can just hear over and over again in the deep respect that the military's top leadership has expressed toward him over the past several days since he passed away, that they did not resent him for that. They knew that he was taking those stances because he cared deeply about making the military better.
Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.
Be sure to check out his notebook now online at federalnewsradio.com.